What color pills do you take? He asks, leaning forward on his elbows. Red before therapy, yellow after. He nods and looks away, fidgeting with the hem of his scrubs. And then, I continue, there's what the handler gives me. Realm looks up suddenly and tilts his head. What? What do you mean? I take a sip of my milk and flip my gaze over to where the dark-haired handler is standing, not looking at me for once. The one by the door, I say behind my cup. He injects me with sedatives. What? Realm says loud enough to earn a few stares. That asshole, what's he giving you? I don't know exactly, I say, but it pretty much just knocks me out where I stand. Realm ducks his head as he lowers his voice. Are you being serious about this? I scoff. Why would I lie to you? To impress you with my tales of program misadventures? Yes, he injected me the day I came here and again in the hall after therapy. I haven't seen him today, at least not until now. Sloane, Realm whispers, his dark eyes a different shade of worry. If he does that again, if he hurts you, you need to tell Dr. Warren. I tried, but she... Tell her I made you tell. She'll believe me. Realm looks around then, noticing how others have finished their dinner and are headed out to watch TV or play cards. I should go, he says like he doesn't want to. But remember, the card game invitation stands, okay? I nod, having forgotten until he mentioned it. I watch as he leaves and notice that he goes out of his way to walk past the handler. When he passes, Realm looks sideways at him with a death stare, and for a moment I think he's going to get in a fight. But instead, the dark-haired handler, the one I'm scared of, pushes off from the wall and leaves the room. It's odd that Realm has that effect on him, but then again, maybe they've gotten into it before. Realm did seem pretty pissed when I mentioned the handler drugging me. I decide then that Realm is someone I should stay close to for a while, at least until I figure out how to navigate the program on my own. You made it, Realm calls the minute I stop at their makeshift card table. The other guys stare up at me with eager eyes, but I pretend not to notice. Realm pushes the kid nearest to him over and grabs a chair for me, sliding it in its place. I was sitting there, the other guy says. And now you're not. Realm collects all the cards, even though it seemed as if they were mid-hand. He starts reshuffling them. I sit next to him, feeling the stares of everyone at the table on me. You let her join and not me? A girl's voice cuts through the air. A redhead stands across from me, pointing her finger in my direction. I thought you said no new members, Realm. He tilts his head like he's trying to apologize, but I hear the guy next to me suppress a laugh. My darling Tabitha, Realm begins. I've told you that we are very exclusive, but I promise if Sloane drops out, you can have her spot. She shoots me a vicious glare. Oh, I start to say as I stand, but Realm catches my thigh and eases me back down. When I look at Tabitha again, her eyes are angry. Whatever. You're a bunch of losers anyway. Nice chatting with you, Tabby, one of the guys at the table calls out as she walks away. Don't mind her, Realm says as he deals the hand. She's always bitchy, and no, she's not going to do something horrible to you later. She's going to forget. She always forgets, which is why we don't let her play. She can never remember the rules. Something about the coldness of this statement hits me, and I'm ready to run away. Realm must notice because he looks at me. It's a side effect of her suicide attempt. She took quick death, and even though they revived her, she has some brain damage. She's getting better, though, which is why she remembered me saying she can't play. But $20 says she's back here tomorrow asking why you can play and she can't. Enough whispering, the guy next to me says. Deal the cards. Realm smiles at him and then grabs a pretzel and balances it between his lips. Boys, this is Sloane. Hands off. They all laugh, shooting odd looks at Realm, and I wonder if I've somehow been claimed. But then Realm introduces me to Derek and Shep. They seem all right, although Shep's BO is a little strong next to me. He's 15 and Derek is 17. They've all been here close to 3 weeks, hoping to get out in 6. From what I can tell, they look pretty balanced, other than the fact that Shep is scratching absently at his thigh to the point where I think he's going to draw blood from underneath his scrubs. Realm offers me a pretzel, but I shake my head. "So, what's the game?" I ask as they pick up their cards. Realm smiles, not looking at me. "What else? Bullshit." They all start laughing, and I remember the game from junior high. James, Brady, and I would sit around my kitchen table and play when my parents were out. Sometimes Lacey would come by and join us. James used to be the master at this game. He knew just how to act and would trick us all into calling bullshit, only to prove he was telling the truth. Thinking about that now, my cards shake in my hand. "You know how to play?" Realm asks. I nod, but can't answer. "Bullshit, Sloan," James would yell out, slapping his hand on the table. "You are the worst liar ever." He and Brady would laugh hysterically, and I wouldn't even bother flipping over my cards. I would just pick up the deck. It got to the point where I wouldn't try to lie, because James would always bust me. Every time. "Your turn," Realm says, nudging my elbow. I glance at my hand and see that I'm supposed to come up with a 10. I have the 10 of clubs, but I pull out a 2 of diamonds and set it down. 1-10, I say. There's only the briefest moment of silence before Shep moves next to me. 1-jack, he says. Derek goes after him and the game continues, but I stare at my 10. There's no one to call me on my bullshit anymore. Chapter 5. It's Monday morning, a week and a half into the program, and Dr. Warren is sitting behind her desk, smiling kindly. Before the appointment, I tried to eat as much food as possible, hoping it would weaken the effect of the drugs. But my body has already begun to feel heavy, making me sag into the chair. "Did you and James have a physical relationship?" the doctor asks. I laugh. "They don't have sports at my school." "That's not what I mean, Sloan." Obviously, I know what she meant, but it isn't any of her business. I don't trust Dr. Warren. "What's in the pills?" I ask. She sighs. "We go over this every time, and the answer is always the same. They're just something to relax you." I shake my head slowly. "No," I say. "It's more than that. It makes me talk to you, even if I don't want to." Dr. Warren watches me for a long moment, her eyes scanning me as if weighing out her answer. "Let's get back to James," she says. "Isn't that what you really want to talk about?" I wince at his name, reminded again of how much I miss him. The room is becoming transparent, my memories clearer than the world around me. I'd do anything to get back to him. "Yes," I say, giving up on my question. "James and I had a physical relationship. He's the physical type." "I can gather that much." I don't like the way she says it, as if without James I'd still be a virgin and at home with my parents right now baking cookies. "I'm the one who wanted him, if you must know. He would have been fine with waiting." I pause at this. "Well, he would have been fine with waiting a little longer, at least." "Were you careful?" I curl my lip. "Yes, Mom. We always used a condom because we would never want to bring a kid into this messed up world." "Condoms aren't always..." "Look," I say. "I know the statistics, but I hardly have to worry about it now, do I?" My voice takes on a hard edge, and Dr. Warren glances away. I'm angry at the way she's portraying James, and I want to set her straight. I want to tell her that she could only dream of having someone like him in her life. "Perhaps we can talk about your first kiss." Scoffing, I curl up in the chair. The drugs are loosening my clenched muscles, taking away my inhibitions. "Did you kiss him first?" Dr. Warren asks, like she's my best friend. No, I say, my heartbeat loud in my ears. I would have been too scared, too shy. James was so hot and cold then, I didn't know what to think. Dr. Warren leans back in her chair, her arms folding over her chest as she starts to smile. Tell me about it, Sloane. Tell me everything. I realize that she's right. I do want to talk about James. And the minute I start, I'm ready to stay with him forever, even if only in my mind. He would send me notes, I say. After he admitted his feelings, he would leave notes under my pillow. Letters that he was writing to me. At first it seemed more like he was yelling at me. He'd comment on how much he hated liking me, but then in the next line explain it was because he spent all of his time missing me. I was never so confused in my whole life. I never wrote back, but his letters kept coming, as if he was arguing with himself. Soon they became less angry, sweeter. He'd compliment something I wore to school, say how he thought about kissing me. I laugh. He talked a lot about kissing me. Said that maybe we could sneak off and see a movie, just the two of us. Dr. Warren writes in the file. James sounds complicated. He's the opposite, actually. He wants things simple, and me and him dating, that complicated everything. How long did the letters go on? Almost every day for about a month. But after a few weeks of them, I started to stay in the same room with him. We would joke and actually make eye contact again. Brady said he was glad that I was done acting weird, and I felt like he knew, that he had to see the way James and I looked at each other. The first time James and I kissed, I say, he told me that from then on, he'd always have to kiss me. Just me. I felt so special, so loved. I replayed that moment in my head nonstop. But then I started to worry that maybe I'd read too much into the kiss. I was so afraid of losing him, and he wasn't even mine yet. A week later, James came by to pick up me and Brady for a day at the river, but my brother backed out at the last minute, said he had a date, but that James and I should go ahead. We'd barely waited for him to leave the room before we took off, but I was nervous. James hadn't mentioned the kiss, and I hadn't gotten any more letters. James drove us out there, and we didn't speak on the way. I was wearing my bathing suit under a t-shirt and shorts, even though I didn't plan to go in the water. It was like we were pretending to still go through the motions of a normal Saturday. When we got there, James laid out a beach blanket for us, dropped a few snacks from his backpack on it, and then stripped to his suit. He went swimming, leaving me there. But why did he act so cold when he'd already kissed you? Dr. Warren asks. I meet her eyes. James, as strong as he is, has serious abandonment issues. When he was 8, his mother left him in her car at the train station. I swallow hard, feeling his pain. She never came back. Instead, someone had heard him crying, called the police. After that, I'm not sure he trusts anyone. Only me and Brady. I sniffle. And Brady failed him, too. Dr. Warren nods as if she understands, but I don't think she does. No one understands James except me. And what happened at the river that day? She asks softly. While James was in the water, I start again. I considered hiding his clothes, a little joke to put us in a good mood, something to break the awkward silence. So I grabbed his shorts and stood, ready to run off with them. But then something fell out of his pocket and landed in the grass. What was it? Dr. Warren asks, looking riveted. A ring. A stupid plastic ring with sparkles. I'd held it in my hands, wondering what he was doing with it. I sat back down on the blanket and examined it, jealous about the girl it must have belonged to. Then I felt a drip of water and saw James standing above me, running a towel over his hair. I let the memory unfold as Dr. Warren listens, my words tumbling out without my permission. Inside, I can see it all. I can remember every second. What do you have? James asked. When he saw the ring, he tossed his towel aside. You going through my pockets, Sloan?
No, I...
But I stopped, feeling jealous.
Whose ring is this?
James laughed and then sat down next to me, his thigh pressed against mine as he reached to pluck the ring from my hand.
You shouldn't snoop, he murmured.
You're not going to answer?
He looked sideways.
It's for you, stupid, he said with a smile. I got it for you.
I stared at him, trying to decide if he was telling the truth, but then he took the ring from my hand and slid it onto my finger. James leaned forward, pausing when he got really close to me.
Can we kiss now? He asked. Is that okay?
I close my eyes as I sit across from Dr. Warren, remembering how warm James's mouth was on mine, how his tongue touched my lips before I opened them, letting him in. Letting him lay me back on the blanket as his mouth found mine, again and again, always gentle, yet urgent. I'll never feel that passion from James again. I'll never be that girl again. Tears start to stream down my cheeks as I cry, missing James, missing myself. I wish everything could just go back to the way it was, but instead I'm slowly losing everything. I'm witnessing my own death. Dr. Warren doesn't say anything, but she hands me the yellow pill. I take it gratefully, wanting to sleep, wanting to feel better, but never wanting to forget.
Wakey, wakey, a voice whispers in my ear.
My eyelids feel heavy as I try to lift them, and when I turn to the voice, I feel warm breath on my face.
You've been out too long, Miss Barstow. They asked me to come retrieve you.
My eyes fly open, and I see the dark-haired handler leaning over my bed. I reach out to push him away, but he catches my wrists.
Don't fight, he soothes. I'm not going to hurt you. I only like the willing.
I yank my arm from his, accidentally hitting myself in the mouth. I wince and touch at my lip, seeing a bit of blood there.
The handler tisks. You should be more careful.
He walks over to my closet and pulls out a clean pair of scrubs in my robe, laying it over the bed.
Help you get dressed?
Hell no, I say, sitting up in the bed, and I'm pretty sure this is sexual harassment. He smiles.
How so?
I'm not sure if making my skin crawl is enough of a reason to file charges, but I won't mind taking the chance. Get out, or I'll call Nurse Kell, I say, motioning to the door. The handler shrugs.
If you want.
He starts walking that way and then stops, looking back at me.
But what if I can offer you something?
I don't want anything from you.
Not even a memory?
I pause, but then push back the blankets to climb out of the bed.
What do you mean?
The handler beams under my attention.
If I can save you a memory, something you could take out of here with you, would it be worth it?
I swallow down the sick feeling in my stomach.
Would what be worth it?
His eyes narrow deviously then, scanning over my body. I instinctively fold my arms over my chest and step back from him.
Being friends, he says, but the tone is nothing short of sinister.
Just leave, I snap, pointing behind him. He nods, not looking fazed in the least.
You think about it, Sloan. If you change your mind, you know where to find me.
Drop dead. He opens the door, but as he walks out, he says nonchalantly,
Wonder how much you've lost already.
And then he's gone. I stand there staring at the closed door.
What I've lost?
I look suddenly to my hand, but the finger is naked. The purple heart ring that I always wear is at home in my mattress. I wouldn't forget that. James gave it to me when... I stop, thinking. A spike of fear rushes over me.
He gave it when... Oh, God. I cover my mouth, realizing for the first time that a memory is gone. I stumble back against my bed, my mind racing over everything I can think of. The ring. How did I get the ring? There's a quick knock at the door. I'm sure it's the handler, so I yell out for him to go away. The door opens and Dr. Francis is standing there, his eyebrows pulled together. Sloane, he says carefully, Roger said he couldn't get you to come out of your room. Is something the matter? Yes, there is so much the matter that I wouldn't know where to start. But I can't turn in Roger for being a creep. Not yet. Not in case he can help me. I clear my throat and straighten, putting on a calm exterior. Let's see if Dr. Francis can call bullshit. He woke me up and I was cranky, I say. I think my medication is too strong. Dr. Francis purses his lips as if thinking this over. Maybe you just need to get used to the dosage. Maybe, I respond, my voice bitter. He nods then, stepping away from the door. It's time for lunch, and the staff is concerned that you're not eating enough. Nurse Kell tells me you've lost 4 pounds since arriving. No fast food, I respond. Bring on the chicken nuggets, and I'll eat the hell out of them. He laughs then, looking relieved that I can make a lame joke after all. I'll see what I can do, he says, and I'll adjust your medication dosage. We want you to feel comfortable. I know this is a difficult transition. I smile, clenching my teeth so hard I'm afraid they'll break. A difficult transition? Yeah, that's a fair assessment. Dr. Francis waits as I go in the bathroom and change into my clean scrubs, wrapping my robe tightly around me. I still try to search my mind for the story of the ring, but I know it's gone. I've lost a piece of James, and it's so devastating that I have to stare at my reflection for nearly a minute before I can pull myself together. As I head out behind the doctor into the hallway, I keep my mind trained on a single thought, holding it close to me. James. 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 Chapter 6. After time in the examination room with Dr. Francis, just a basic physical and blood test to make sure I'm taking my meds, I'm sent to lunch, where I sit alone in the corner. I drink some juice and take bites from an apple, but don't bother with anything else. I'm too upset about the ring. When I leave and find myself in the mostly deserted leisure room, I sit again at the window and stare out. I continually take cautious glances around for Roger, wondering when his slimy self will show up, asking for a trade. Wondering if I could say no when it means keeping a part of myself. Psst. I look over my shoulder and see Realm by the door, holding something behind his back. No one else notices him, and I feel myself smile. Come here, he mouths. I'm not sure I should go, but the room is quiet and I'm bored. I get up to find out what he's doing. Realm grins madly when I approach and I follow him into the hall. Wait here, he says, poking his head around the corner toward the nurse's station. What's behind your back? I ask, trying to look over his shoulder between him and the wall. Hey, hey, sweetness, he says, glaring at me. No peeking. He checks one more time and then does some weird hand signals like we're in the military. What? I ask. Run! He rushes ahead of me and we dash down the hall and through the stairwell door. He eases it shut and I stand there, sort of shocked. That was close, he says. What are we doing? Hiding out. I have contraband. But if they find us, they won't. No rounds for another 20 minutes. Sit. He points to the stairs behind me. Since I've already broken the rules by coming out here, I sit down on the concrete, crossing my legs as I stare at him. Now will you show me what you have behind your back? He smiles broadly and pulls out a white bag, the logo on the side unmistakable. No way.
A little birdie told me you wanted chicken nuggets.
Realm, how did you...
Shh, he says, looking toward the door. This isn't on the menu, so if they see it, they'll take it. Now do you want it or not? My brother and I used to beg our parents for McDonald's every Saturday. We'd have to clean our rooms, do the dishes, all sorts of chores that we totally blew off, knowing our parents would get it anyway because my father was hooked on the fries. And here in this stairwell, I've never been so happy to see greasy food, almost like a little piece of home, which I guess is sad in a way. Realm comes to sit next to me, reaching in the bag to take out a napkin, which he lays on the stair. He pulls out a box of McNuggets, folding back the cardboard and then dumping some fries in the top. I immediately dive in, even though I have a ton of questions. How did you get this? The food is a little cold, but still so good. Better than the mashed and bland starches we've been getting here. I have a friend who has a friend. He smiles and puts a fry into his mouth.
What?
Realm, can you get us outside? I ask, my mind suddenly flooded with dreams of escape. He widens his eyes at my reaction. No, he says. Of course not. My charms only go so far, and sweet-talking my way into some drive-thru isn't the same as a jailbreak. I just thought... He looks down. Shit, Sloane, I thought this would cheer you up. I feel horrible and ungrateful, and I reach out to touch his hand to get his attention. Sorry, I say. This is awesome, and it does cheer me up. I force a wide, overly enthusiastic grin. See? Realm chuckles, a soft smile staying on his lips as we go back to eating. So, how did you know about the chicken nuggets? I ask, pulling my leg underneath me and settling in. Finally got my hands on your chart. Imagine my surprise when Dr. Francis noted that you were craving them. Did you really tell him that? Yes. I laugh and slap his shoulder. But you can't read my chart. I can, but I definitely shouldn't. You won't tell on me, will you? Are you a rat, Sloane? He looks at me suspiciously. I'm not going to sell you out, but you have to tell me what you read. He stiffens at this and then scratches his chin. Not much. A wave of sickness washes over me. You're lying. Realm's eyes meet mine. Who's James? The tender way he asks makes me nearly fall apart. How can I even explain who James is to me? He was everything, I say. And now he's nothing. I close my eyes. I'm sorry, I hear Realm say, feeling him touch my knee. I shouldn't have brought it up. I sniffle and wipe away the tears just as they start to brim over. It's okay, I say. I've just had a bad day, and I reminded you how much life sucks. I really am sorry. Don't be, I whisper. James is my boyfriend, but I stop, not wanting to admit that James didn't remember me. As if it proves that I didn't mean that much to him. He was in the program, too, Realm says quietly. It's in your file. I nod. They came and got me about a week after he returned. Did he know you? Realm asks, sounding anxious. No. Saying it is like a punch in the gut. Realm doesn't try to say it's okay or offer any hopes of James remembering. Instead, he points to the last McNugget. You gonna eat that? He asks. I stare at him. You just made me cry and now you want my food? He shrugs. I just asked if you were going to eat it. I laugh then, pushing the box in his direction. It's all yours. I think I might puke from eating so fast. He pauses with the food halfway to his mouth. Thanks for oversharing, Sloane. He eats the chicken anyway, and then we pick through the fries before cleaning up, the grease clinging to my fingers. But it's not gross. It's almost a relief compared to how scrubbed and antiseptic I feel in this facility. Hold up, Realm says, handing me the bag. He pulls the door open and then puts his eye to the crack. All clear.
He motions me forward, and we sneak back inside, giggling as we run down the hallway. We're almost back to the leisure room when we see Nurse Kell turn the corner and spot us. Realm instantly grabs the McDonald's bag and tosses it into an empty room, the trash sliding under a bed.
"Where have you two been?" Nurse Kell asks.
"Just giving her the tour," Realm says, putting his arm around me as if we're best friends. It occurs to me that he is my best friend, at least in here.
Nurse Kell eyes us for another second longer, and then nods toward the leisure room.
"All right, then," she says. "The boys are looking for you, Michael. You're late for your card game."
He thanks her, and we start heading off when Nurse Kell calls me back.
"For you," she says, holding out a Dixie cup.
I peek inside and see a bright yellow pill.
"Why? I feel fine."
"Doctor's orders, dear."
She hands me a cup of water, and I take the pill, anger starting to well up inside me again.
"I thought he was going to lower my dosage," I snap at her. "Guess not, huh? Go back to your friends now, Sloane."
She smiles and brushes my hair off my shoulder. But I push her hand away and go into the leisure room.
"Where'd you go?"
Realm asks when I sit at the table with him and the guys. They'd already dealt me in, and I pick up my cards.
"Nurse Kell wanted to make sure I stayed obedient," I tell him.
"I like the sound of that," Derek says, and they start laughing.
Realm just eyes me with concern.
"Hey!"
A voice cuts through the air, and I turn to see Tabitha making her way over, her red hair pulled into a messy knot on top of her head.
"Realm, I thought you said you weren't letting anyone else play."
He sighs, but looks up at her sweetly.
"Hello, Tabitha. I'm sorry, but the table is full."
"Then why does she get to join? That's not fair, Realm. You promised."
"Next time, okay?" He smiles at her.
She shoots a hateful look in my direction and then nods sadly before stumbling away. The guys don't joke this time and instead start playing the round. She just had this conversation, and yet she comes back like part of her brain is broken. She took quick death, and I wonder if Miller had survived if he'd... A thick, choking grief envelops me at the thought of my friend. My Miller, so lost and alone, even though we were right there. I'll never see him again. There's a soft touch on my wrist.
"You're crying," Realm whispers.
Startled, I look at him while he takes a cautious glance around at the nurses. He reaches to swipe under my eye with his shirt sleeve and then calls bullshit to no one in particular just to distract them. They all start laughing and sifting through the cards, but I watch Realm, grateful. We go back to playing, but as the minutes tick by, my reflexes get slower. Soon they're yelling at me to throw down a card, and I have to fold my hand and step out. Realm stands when I do.
"You don't look well," he says.
"Tired. Nurse Kell gave me a pill and..."
"Wait, that's what happened in the hall? Why would she give it now?"
"I don't know." Realm puts his arm on mine and steadies me against him. I don't argue. I'm starting to feel disoriented, and the prospect of getting all the way to my room seems impossible.
"I'll be back, guys," Realm says, tossing his cards down. They grumble something I can't hear, and then Realm is easing me away. "Can I walk you home?" he asks, joking.
I don't respond, and instead hold on to his elbow as he leads us out. Once we're in the hall, Realm slides his arm over my shoulder.
"It's okay," he whispers. "I'll get you back safely."
The hall seems to tilt in front of me, but at the other end, I think I see someone. I think I see Roger. I stagger back and grab a handful of Realm's shirt.
"Don't let him near me like this," I beg.
"Who?"
Realm shoots a glance in Roger's direction and then freezes.
"What's wrong? Did something happen?"
Roger looks at us, and I'm suddenly scared that he'll come for me now, when I'm too weak to fight back. I nearly stumble over my own feet.
"Just get me out of here," I say.
Realm rushes me in the other direction,
but his eyes are dark when he looks back over his shoulder at Roger. When I'm finally in a private room, it takes a second for me to realize it's not mine. Everything is so foggy. "Where am I?" I ask.
"My room," Realm says. "Hope that's okay."
He keeps his head out the door, looking around as if he's keeping watch. I stagger toward his bed.
"I can take you back to yours when you wake up. You look like you're about to crash hard," Realm adds.
I don't argue about being in his room as I climb onto his bed, laying my head on the pillow with a sigh. My eyes are already closed when Realm comes to cover me with his blankets, tucking them carefully around me.
"I'll be back later, okay?" he says.
"Mm-hmm." He chuckles softly, and I feel a touch on my forehead. A kiss, I think. And then he leaves to let me sleep off the medication, and I try not to worry about what, or who, will be waiting for me when I get up. Chapter 7. I wake up to the sound of shouts coming from the hallway. I sit up suddenly, regretting it the moment I do because it feels like my brain might fall out. Pain pulses in my temples as I try to get my bearings and look around the unfamiliar room.
"Michael!" I hear what sounds like Nurse Kell yell. "Get off him!"
"Stay away from her, or I swear to God I'll kill you myself."
I gasp, sure that's Realm's voice. I climb quickly out of the bed and go to the door, opening it just a crack to look out the way Realm does. Halfway down the hall, Realm has got his forearm to Roger's throat, pinning him to the wall. But Roger isn't saying anything. He's just staring back at Realm as if challenging him.
"Michael,"
Nurse Kell says again, only softer. She touches Realm's arm and he suddenly drops it, making Roger stumble to the floor. For a minute, I think Realm might kick him, but instead he steps back with obvious restraint. I open the door more and it creaks, making all of them look over at me. When Realm turns in my direction, I see that one of his eyes is puffed up. Nurse Kell immediately bristles.
"Sloane," she says, "return to your room."
Then she takes Realm roughly by the elbow.
"We need to see Dr. Warren now," she hisses.
Realm shrugs at me, almost like an apology, and then lets himself be led down the hall. My heart pounds in my chest as it fills with worry. What if they send him away? Hurt him? Realm is my only friend, and what if they take him from me too? Just then, I notice Roger still sitting on the floor. When my eyes meet his, he winks, and then gets up to hobble away. I wait in the dining room, not touching my food, as I sit by myself. They haven't brought Realm back yet, and I'm completely panicking. I haven't told anyone what I saw, but I heard Derek and the other guy say that Realm punched out a handler, and now he's getting shipped off to another facility. My fingers shake as I try to eat a spoonful of Jell-O.
"Can I sit with you?"
Tabitha asks, motioning to the empty chair across from me.
"Oh, sure." It's a chance to see her up close for the first time.
She has dyed red hair, but from the roots, I imagine it's naturally dark. Her skin is pale and her eyes are a light hazel. She's pretty in a really emo sort of way. She sort of reminds me of Lacey, or at least, the old Lacey.
"I see your bandage," she says, taking the first bite of her food. "Did you try to slit your wrists?"
"Sort of, but I wasn't trying to kill myself. I was just pissed." She laughs.
"Yeah, right. So where's Realm?" she asks, and I suspect it was her real question from the beginning. "He said I could play cards with him today." "Oh," she pauses, smiling. "Maybe he'll let you play too. He's pretty nice. Cute too, right?"
I stare at her, trying to see if there are any obvious signs of damage. I've never heard of anyone surviving quick death before. Lacey had thought about taking it. She wanted Miller to take it with her.
"Wait,
Miller. What happened to Miller?
What's that look? You don't think he's hot?
Tabitha is grinning from ear to ear, but I don't answer her and instead look down toward my tray. What the hell happened to Miller? In my mind, it's like he's there and suddenly gone. Oh my God, I say. I can't remember.
Are you okay? Tabitha asks, sounding frightened. Should I get the nurse?
No, I say quickly. I stretch my hand out and cover hers. They're taking my memories, I whisper to her. They're erasing me. She blinks quickly as if she completely understands, but then her eyes glaze over.
Don't talk like that, she says pleasantly, or you're going to get us both thrown into a new facility to start over.
Tabitha abruptly stands, taking her tray with her, and walks away. My hand feels cold on the white table, and I'm shaking. First the ring, and now Miller. What else is missing that I can't find? What's happening to me? And suddenly, I know. I know what I have to do if I plan to make it through this. I leave my tray on the table and walk toward the exit doors. I'm almost there when an older handler stops me.
Where are you going? He asks.
Bathroom.
There's a bathroom here.
He motions toward the back of the room. I try to think fast. No tampons in there. He stares me down as if he can tell I'm menstruating just by looking at me, and then he waves me out.
Hurry up, he says before going back to monitoring the room.
I rush out into the hall, not sure where I'll find him. Desperation is making tears sting my eyes, but I blink them back. I need to be stronger. I need to save myself. It's when I pass the supply closet that I see him and skid to a stop, sliding in my slipper socks. Disgust twists in my stomach as I watch him counting off rolls of toilet paper and then marking the number on a clipboard. When he notices me, he smiles.
Hello, Miss Barstow. Can I help you with something?
Yes, Roger. I nearly choke on his name. I guess you can. Roger locks up the supply closet and leads me back to my room, smiling the entire way, even humming a song. I can barely push myself forward, but I have no choice. The program has given me no choice but to hold on to what I can. Roger opens my door and steps aside for me to walk in. When I pass him, I smell the strong scent of mints, and I know I'll never be able to taste peppermint again without gagging. I pause just inside the room, not looking at the bed. When Roger shuts the door and locks it, I cross my arms over my chest. First, tell me what's going to happen to Realm.
Roger chuckles. Oh, I'm sure Michael Realm will be just fine. He has a habit of getting out of things the rest of you are punished for.
I furrow my brow. What does that mean?
It means he'll be back soon. Now I hope this isn't why you took me aside, Sloane.
He cocks his head as if truly curious. I'm terrified. How do I know you can really give me my memories?
I can't give you back your memories, he says, almost apologetically. What I can do is let you hold on to select memories, block them from the antigens.
Antigens?
The little yellow pill you take, he says. It seeks out your memories, the ones that are targeted by Dr. Warren. First, you take the red, a sort of truth serum, if you will, and while you talk, it acts like a dye, attaching itself to the thoughts. Then you take the yellow to wipe them all away. It's not exact, but soon you'll have less and less to sort through, and they'll be easier to pinpoint.
The pills. They're eating my memories. Dr. Warren said they were just to relax me, but she lied. What else has she lied about? How can you help? I ask Roger. What can you do to stop them from erasing me? He reaches into his pocket and opens a small container. He pinches out a small purple pill.
This can save one stray thought, one thing you don't want to lose. Of course, it might make you sick, but it could be worth the risk. And if you tell Dr. Warren about this, they'll strip your mind completely. So if you take it, know that this has to stay between us. I look at the little pill he holds up, not sure if it can be true. If he's just lying to do something horrible to me. And what do you want in exchange? I ask, fearing the answer. He smiles then, the skin crinkling around his eyes. I'm not a monster, Sloan. Maybe all I want is a kiss. He pauses. This time.
Bartering for sex? I try to sound appalled, but I knew it would come to this. I knew, and I still asked him here. I had just been hoping for a different answer.
Course not, he says. Like I said, a kiss. A little affection. Affection is good for your therapy, Sloan. Did they not tell you that? In fact, I think you've already found that out yourself.
I know he's talking about Realm, but I don't bother responding. He thinks Realm and I are in a relationship, but that will never happen. I'm going back to James. I reach out and take the pill from Roger's hands, examining it.
How does it work?
You'll have to concentrate on a single memory. Then you swallow the pill and hold the thought. Don't mix the memory with anything else or widen the scope, otherwise it won't be clear in your head. I look between the pill and the handler, my throat dry and my hands clammy. It's just a kiss, but it's like he's asking me to jump off a bridge. I can't move any closer to him, and I feel my resolve start to fade.
What's it worth to you, Sloan? He asks softly. What's your past worth?
And with that, a few tears leak out. I think of James, Brady and Miller, the part of me that won't survive the program. Maybe this one pill can change the outcome. Maybe it can save me.
Just one kiss, I tell him. Roger laughs. Yes, but I say how long. And it has to be good, Sloan. I want to feel your passion.
I wipe hard at my face, pulling the skin roughly until it hurts. I slip the pill into the pocket of my robe and take an unsteady step forward. I look Roger straight in the eyes.
Make no mistake, I whisper. I hate you.
He smiles.
I like a challenge.
He grabs me roughly, pinching my upper arm as he pulls me against him, his other arm snaking around me. His mouth is on mine, wet and strong. I try to turn away at first, but he just squeezes harder, and I can feel how turned on he is as he presses against me. I whimper and try to move back as his tongue licks my lips.
Make me believe it, he breathes, or I take the pill back.
He kisses me again, and this time I let his tongue inside my mouth. Peppermint coats my lips, and I can't stand the taste. I can't stand another second of it. Tears continue to trickle down my cheeks as his hand touches my ass, holding me tight against him. His other hand grips the back of my neck and tilts it so he can kiss me there.
You taste delicious, he says into my skin.
I try to pretend it's James, but Roger's touch is too aggressive. James would never touch me like this. James would never do this to me. Soon, I'm sobbing, and Roger comes to kiss me once more, his hand sliding under my shirt. And finally, I snap and bring my knee up, missing his balls but connecting with his thigh. He yelps and jumps back. But as I stand there in front of him, soft cries still escaping my lips, he laughs.
Oh, come on, Sloan. He says coldly. It wasn't that bad. Other girls trade much more.
Get out, I manage to say, and I back against the footboard of my bed. Get
out,
I scream. He flinches and then looks behind him at the door.
Fine, he says, putting up his hand. But understand, this is between us. If you tell...
I know.
I can't stop crying. I spit out the taste of him right there on the linoleum tile, and he looks at it, surprised that I'm even upset.
Next dose is for bare skin, he warns, and I suggest you get a hold of yourself, because the crying doesn't really work for me.
With that, he turns and leaves, shutting the door behind him.
Chapter 8. When the tears have dried, I'm in my bed, lying under the covers. I know it won't be long before they come looking for me, wondering where I am. But I can't go back to the dining hall because my body won't stop shaking. I take the pill out of my pocket and stare at it. It might not even work, but I have to try. I have to fight. This is my last chance to keep from losing everything. I put the pill in my mouth and swallow it dry, coughing once when it gets stuck, but then getting it down. I know what I have to remember. It's not romantic. It's not something cherished. But I hope it'll lead to some answers when I get out. Next pill, I'll capture a perfect memory with James. For now, I imagine the picture of him and Brady, the ring, the things I hid in my mattress so that I could find them when I got back. I know now that everything that happened at my house that day will be erased from my memory, so I might never look for the items. This is the only way. I focus on the picture. James's face, his chest bare, as his arm is carelessly around my brother's shoulders. Brady's laugh and the river rolling through the background. The ring, the purple, sparkly, heart-shaped ring that James gave me, even if I can't remember when. But I used to wear it all the time, so it must have been special. They're all in the mattress, these things that will lead us back together. So I hold the memory tightly to me as I close my eyes. Only a few minutes have passed when I'm suddenly ravaged by pain. I cry out, feeling like a hammer just hit me in the back of the head. I lean forward and vomit over the side of my bed, my stomach twisting and my throat burning. I press my hands to my head as if it can stop the throbbing there. The room spins, and I lie back against the pillow, my eyes squeezed shut. I try to control my breathing, and once again think of the ring and the picture hidden in my bed. It feels like a lifetime of agony, but it's probably been less than 5 minutes when I'm finally able to open my eyes again. My stomach is twisted, and I know I'll have to clean up the puke before Nurse Kel comes for me. Slowly, I slide out of bed, careful to step around the mess and then clean it up with toilet paper, flushing it away. My breath comes out in jagged gasps, like I might get sick again at any moment. There is a sour taste in my mouth, but behind that is peppermint. I lean over the toilet and gag again. When I walk into the now half-empty dining room, I'm sure I look bad. I feel hungover, my eyes are bloodshot, and my greasy hair is pulled back into a ponytail. But people don't seem to notice, and it occurs to me that it's better not to be pretty here. It's better to go unnoticed. I find where I left my tray and pretend to pick at the roll still on my plate. I drink the apple juice, anything to mask the flavors lingering in my mouth. Tabitha's staring at me from across the room as if she's studying me, but soon she lowers her gaze. I wonder if Roger has offered her the pill. I want to ask her, but how can I ask something like that? And what if he hasn't? She could turn me in and get me sent away for longer. I miss Realm. I hope that Roger was telling me the truth when he said that Realm would come back soon. What if they're hurting him? Oh, God, what if they're erasing me from his memory?
Just then I see Nurse Kel walk into the room, and I jump up to go talk to her. She looks alarmed, and then pleased that I sought her out.
Hello, Sloane, honey. Are you feeling better?
Yes, but is Realm okay?
She smiles, reminding me again of a grandmother. Michael Realm is just fine. He's cooling off with Dr. Warren right now. He won't be sleeping in the wards tonight, I'm afraid, but I hope he'll rejoin us tomorrow.
I almost burst out crying.
Will he remember me?
I ask in a small voice. Nurse Kel shakes her head as if it's a silly question.
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
I let out a held breath, but I still can't stand it. How they all act as if there's nothing wrong going on here. As if they're not erasing our minds.
Thank you,
is all I can manage as I head out of the room and into the hallway. I skip out on the card game and sit in my room playing solitaire instead, with a pack of cards Nurse Kel lent me. I listen to the hall, hoping to hear Realm's laugh. I dread seeing Roger walk by, or worse, stop in. But the place is quiet. I fall asleep easily, even without swallowing the pills Nurse Kel brings me. When I wake up, I have an early morning appointment with Dr. Warren, but I take the long way around and go by Realm's room. He's still not back. I go inside Dr. Warren's office, and she beams like she's thrilled to see me.
Sloane, she says, you're looking well today.
I know she's lying, because I haven't showered or even bothered checking my reflection. I did take a hot washcloth and wipe my neck to clean everywhere that Roger's mouth touched me. I scrubbed it so raw that it left a rash on my skin. I see Dr. Warren's eyes flick to the spot, but she doesn't mention it. Before we start, she slides the cup with the red pill toward me, but I shake my head.
I don't need it, thank you.
She smiles. You will take the pill, Sloane. We've already been over this. I know from what Roger told me that the pill helps isolate memories, highlights them to be taken later. I don't want to put it in my mouth. I want to crush it under my socked heel.
Have we?
I say.
Maybe I don't remember.
Dr. Warren's jaw tightens. Follow procedures if you want to be released.
I'm not taking it,
I shoot back. What should be doctorly advice from her feels more like a threat. My anger starts to bubble over. Last chance, she says, leveling her gaze on mine. I lean toward her.
I'm not taking the fucking pill, okay?
Dr. Warren doesn't even flinch. She sits back calmly in her leather chair.
Marilyn, she calls behind me.
A large woman in a white nurse's uniform stalks in, a needle poised in her hand. I barely have time to register what's going on before I feel it pierce the skin on my upper arm.
What is this? I yell, jumping up from the chair.
Calm down, Dr. Warren soothes, not even looking a little sorry. It's the same dose, but I told you, you will take the medication one way or another. Voluntarily is just the least painful. Dr. Warren looks at the nurse. Get the other needle ready for after the session. I stand there, clutching my arm and feeling helpless. I'm so violated, so angry, that I think I might completely lose it right now. Today, Dr. Warren says, ignoring my obvious fury, I want to talk about you and James after your brother's death, how you became so codependent.
We're not codependent, you bitch. We love each other.
She looks me over thoughtfully, content to wait until I'm fully compliant. Already, I can feel the drug coursing through my veins, and I sway on my feet, knowing it won't be long until I'm at its mercy, telling her all of my secrets. When I collapse back into the chair, my limbs light.